And that's been the topic we've been talking about over the past several weeks. And for those of you who were not here last week, we talked about faith is obedience in little things, right? And we tried to establish what is faith, or what is true faith, what is true Christian faith. You know, for those of you who remember, I spent a lot of time just talking around what is true Christian faith. So if we can turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews 11 and verse 1, it gives a definition there in Hebrews of what faith is. So Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Amen. I want us to keep in mind that last part of the verse, the assurance about what we do not see today as we go on. But yeah, you know, I spent a lot of time last week talking about how many Christians don't actually have faith and how many Christians are actually practicing a religion. You know, they are just doing rituals almost. Something like tithes and offering, for example, it can be done out of religious practice or it can be done out of faith, but it is completely up to you. You can give your tithes because you believe that it is a source of your blessing, or you can give your tithe because it is a religious practice. Yeah. But it must be something that you believe. We must grow and develop our faith to a level where it is as if we are doing everything we are doing because of faith. Like when we come to church, it is because of faith. It's because the Bible says that we should not forsake the assembling or the gathering of the brethren. So that's why we come to church, is because the Bible also says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. So we must believe that God is here. You must believe that God wants you to come to church on a Sunday morning. Not just that, it's a part of your Sunday routine. Like some people, their part of their Sunday routine is to do laundry, or is to go to the grocery store, or maybe it's to cook for their week. But you must believe and you must have it in your heart that that the reason you come to church on Sunday is because you are trying to hear something for your week. You are trying to also prepare yourself for the week that lies ahead. Amen. We spend a lot of time, if you turn our Bibles to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. I'm just recapping last week's message. So last week's message title was Faith is Obedience in Little Things, right? Faith is obedience in little things. And I also encourage us, you know, I hope we're listening to the podcast, right? So I encourage everyone to please subscribe. If you don't, subscribe to two podcasts, right? I would first subscribe to our prophet, Bishop Dagherwood Mills podcast. You can just search his name right there on Apple Podcasts and it'll come up, or Spotify. And then I would also encourage us to subscribe to our church's podcast. You know, our church, we have our own podcast where every message is downloaded and it's saved there right after church on Sunday. So I'd also subscribe to that one as well. It'll give you an opportunity to re-listen to some of these messages again. But 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 to 5, it says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. How many of us are born again Christians? If you are a born again Christian, let me know in the chat box. Say something in the chat box. That means that you qualify under this, for everyone born of God. So the Bible says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So if you are born again, you can overcome the world. And we talked about that the way you overcome the world is by our faith, right? It says that even our faith has overcome the world. Like what you believe in is so strong, it has overcome the challenges and the difficulties of this world, or the temptations of this world, right? The things that tempt you. That's why I said last week, you know, a young person who's born again can overcome the world. A young person who is born again and on a college campus can overcome the temptations of a college campus if you are born again. And because of your faith, many people may ask, you know, how do I overcome these temptations? All of the people that are around my age, everybody's doing them. How do I really overcome them? And we can give you strategies. We can give you keys. We can say this. We can say that, you know, but until you truly believe in the God that you say you're serving, until you truly want to develop a relationship with him, it's difficult. It's very challenging. It's one thing to recognize that something is a problem, you see, but it's a whole nother thing entirely then to now begin to hold yourself accountable or to begin to feel guilty when you make certain mistakes. Yeah, it's two things differently. You can know that this thing is bad, but there are some bad things that we seem to keep on doing. But then it's completely different to where when you do the bad thing or when you make the mistake, sorry, it's completely different when you do the bad thing or when you make the mistake, it's completely different to hold yourself accountable, to address the issue with yourself and to overcome it. Yeah, there's some sins. When you read in the Bible, the story of King David and Uriah the Hittite, who was a woman that David, who was a woman who was married, you see, and David, she had a husband, and David went and killed her husband, sent somebody to go kill her husband and had sex with Uriah. And the Bible actually says that after David did it, David had no recollection or no clue that this thing he did was wrong. Someone actually had to come and explain to him and give him a long metaphor as to why it was wrong. And many of us, we don't know when we make a mistake that it's actually wrong. Yeah, that it's something that we must hold ourselves accountable for. David had no clue that he was about to be punished, that he was about to make a mistake. If you turn your Bibles to, let's read it since we're here. First Kings 15 and 5. First Kings 15, 5, please. First Kings chapter 15, it says that for David had done what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not failed to keep any of the Lord's commands all the days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. Like, except for that one issue, he had done everything that was right, but he didn't realize that when it came to the case of this woman, he was wrong. He was in the wrong with this one. So I just want to encourage us, you know, because of your faith, you know, because of where you are in your faith, that is why some things are continuing. And I want to encourage us that from this series, you know, I'm believing God that we are growing our faith level. You must have a desire to not just practice religion, but, you know, practice Christianity rather, but to actually have faith and to actually truly be in love with the God that you say you're serving. Amen. So the title of today's message, it's a short one, but it's a powerful one. The title of today's message is called Faith Loves Preparation. Yeah, Faith Loves Preparation. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, please. Hebrews 11, 7. Faith loves preparation. The Bible says here that by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, pay attention. The Bible says that, you know, God has not given us the spirit of fear. So there's a difference between the spirit of fear and holy fear. Yeah, some people have the spirit of fear, and that is what keeps them from doing certain things. But some other people have holy fear. And see, when you have holy fear can do two things in you. It can either make you do something or make you not do something. Because of holy fear, you can decide that you won't do X, Y, and Z. Or maybe because of holy fear, you can decide that, you know, that you won't steal something. You won't steal this because of you're afraid of the punishment. Yeah, faith loves preparation. In holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Amen. Noah, because of his fear, prepared for something he had not seen. If you know about the story of Noah, then you know that God told him to build an ark. Yeah, God told Noah to build an ark. But Noah had no idea what was to come. He just simply believed. And many of us, we don't believe in the warnings. God warned him that there's a flood coming. Build an ark. Take your whole family on the ark and bring two types of every animal onto the ark, male and female. Noah believed and simply listened and did it. It was a warning. Many of us don't believe warnings. How many of us have had our parents give us a warning? Where your parents said, oh, I don't think this is the right idea. Or I don't think you should do this. Or I think you should not do this. Yeah, many of us have had. I've had my parents give me many warnings. Yeah, that you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. Yeah, and the funny thing is, I remember some time ago, my mom would give me a warning and then she would say that, eventually you'll come back to me and you'll say that I was right, like she was right. And what was funny enough is within time, everything she warned me about, she was right. Like there was nothing that she told me where she said, oh, you shouldn't do this. If you're doing it like this, it's a mistake, I'm telling you. And you know, I think many of us when we're young, we just think, oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Oh, I know what I'm doing. Or I just know best. Or we become so confident in what we're doing. But you know, I actually want to let's read a verse as we're talking. John 21, 18. I feel like God wants to teach us something this afternoon. John 21, verse 18. Yeah, we're talking about taking advice, right? So how do you take advice? John 21, 18. It says, "Verily, truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself." Let's read this verse together. It says, "Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Wow. So it's like, as we get older, we rather need someone to lead us. As we get older, we need someone to tell you, do this like this, do this in this way. And many of us are not at that place yet where we can be told to do something like this and then to listen from our parents, let alone God himself. Many times when we read the Bible, it's like we're just reading a story. We're not reading a warning. We're not reading that this thing will happen, but it will happen. Everything the Bible says will happen. When the Bible says that we will stand before the judgment seat and have to give an account of everything we've done in our body, it will actually happen. Like someday we will all have to actually stand one-on-one before God, and you'll have to account for all the things you've done in secret that you think nobody knows. We'll all have to stand there and give an account of everything we've done. So, you know, I want to encourage us that let's remember to stay humble. You know, remember to stay humble. Remember that we don't know much, and that as we get older, we need direction. We need instruction. The verse says that when you were younger, so when you were immature, when you are a child, when you are not thinking like an adult, you go where you want. You do things the way you want. But when you get older, or when you become a little bit more mature, you actually stretch out your hands. Notice how the verse doesn't say that someone would take your hand. It says you volunteer your hand, like you want the instruction. That's what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, that there is safety in the voice of many counselors. When you have people in your life who you can ask for advice, people who can speak to you, there is safety in it. There is a benefit to being someone who wants to be led. Never view people who are led as people who are not wise enough to make their own decisions. Yeah, it's not that. It's not that just because you're being led, you are not wise. There's a difference. Some people are meant to lead. Some people are God has appointed them. God has put them in the position to lead. And some people are meant to be led. When you read in the Bible, we have Paul, we have Timothy. Paul was the one who was told by God, do this, write this, do this, do this. Timothy was told from Paul, do this, do X, do Y. But we all read 1st and 2nd Timothy in the Bible. We know who Timothy is because he was led by Paul. So let's not, you know, rebuke ourselves or deny ourselves the opportunity to be led. Amen. So back to Hebrews 11, verse 7. Hebrews 11, 7. Yeah, by faith, Noah was warned. Let's pay attention to warnings. We must become Christians who pay attention to warnings. And you see, the Bible gives us many warnings. Yeah, as you read throughout the Bible, there are many warnings that are given throughout the Bible. Many things that God has told us, do not do this. God says in the Bible, do not fornicate. Why did he say don't fornicate? He said, because fornication is the only sin where you sin against your own body. It's a warning. And many of us, you see, many people don't take that seriously enough, because after they finish fornicating, they don't realize that something has happened to them, like something has affected them. Because everything is fine, they're normal, everything is okay. It's like, oh, then it must not be real, or oh, it must not be happening. But some people are actually experiencing certain diseases, certain challenges because of that sin. Because the Bible says that it is the only sin you can commit where you sin against your own body. Like you yourself are committing a sin against you. Yeah, that's what the Bible describes our body as, the holy temple. You know, this past year, for example, the past 12 months, for example, it was a warning from God. 1.6 million people have died across the world in a year. It must be a warning. Yeah, it must be a warning that you can go at any time, that God can decide at any time to take you, to just simply remove you at any point in time. You know, it's one of the things I think about all the time is, like, the people who died in the past year from COVID, last year, and maybe let's just say last year, Valentine's Day, they all had plans. Like COVID started 1 month later. Let's say last year, Valentine's Day, each of them had plans. They had vacations lined up for 2020. They had work. They had things. They had school. They had things they were. They all had plans. Yeah. And because of a disease, they've all been gone. They're all gone in a matter of a year. It's quite scary. Like it feels like I think about it sometimes as if, you know, of course, every year, but for some reason, it feels like it was more. It feels like it was so much. I remember at some point in time last year, you know, in New York, for example, people were dying at such a fast rate. Like humans were dying so fast, they couldn't bury you. I remember one day I was in a store last year. I went to a store and there was something coming up on the TV. This was at the peak of COVID and they were playing CNN or something in the store. And I remember looking up at the screen and they had big refrigerated trucks. And they were saying on CNN, this was in New York. They were saying on CNN that people are dying so fast, they cannot be buried in cemeteries. So they're just putting dead bodies inside of the refrigerated trucks lined up outside of the hospital. And they're just stacking the body inside of the trucks again and again. I mean, I always remember that because it always reminds me of, wow, like how frivolous they view your body. Like all those people have families. Some of those people have children. Some of those people have, all those people have parents. But it's like this body is so frivolous that once you're no longer living in it, once you're no longer occupying it, we can just put it in a truck. Who knows what's happened, but we can just throw it in the truck because it's not that valuable. It's not really that important. You know, that's a warning. It's a warning that we must be living for God. It's a warning that we must be eternity minded. Right? It's a warning that we must be thinking about what is to come next. Yeah, in the Bible, there are many warnings. If we turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, it says that for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due for us for the things done while in the body. Yeah, for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Yeah. Whether good or bad, we'll all receive what we are doing in our bodies. You see, if we are continuing to sin, continuing to make intentional mistakes, it is something we will be given what is due for us. Yeah, we'll be given what we deserve for it. When the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, don't take it lightly. It is a warning. Yeah, so faith loves preparation. You must prepare for someday when you have this experience. And the way you prepare is by the life that you are living. It is by the way you are living your life. It doesn't require perfection. Yeah, faith does not require perfection, but what faith requires is being intentional. Amen. You must become an intentional Christian. You must become a Christian who is mindful of your actions, right? Mindful of the steps you are taking, mindful of the decisions you are taking. Many of us are working for God because we are preparing. Yeah, we are preparing. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, please. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. It says that, come now, let us settle the matter. I mean, imagine the image. I just want us to imagine the image that you have come before God and God is sitting there with you one-on-one. And he's telling you, come now, let us settle the matter. The matter that God is speaking about here is your sins. Your mistakes, your bad things you have done. And he's saying, come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, that someday you must be mindful of when you are having this particular conversation with God, you must have some good things you have done, some very good things. You must have had something to stand on. Yeah, something that is like, God, I attempted this for you. God, I tried this. I wasn't so sure, but I tried. You know, I wasn't so confident in this, but I tried. Yeah, it says that though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Amen. So God is telling us here that he can forgive us and he will forgive us of our mistakes on that day of judgment. But it is a settled matter. If you read it in another version, it says, come now and let us bargain. When you bargain with someone, it means that they talk and you talk. They say something, you say something. They make an offer, you also make an offer. But many of us, we won't have much to say. We won't have much of an offer to make. We won't have much to contribute to the conversation. Why? Because of our works. Because we don't have many works. We don't have many things that we have done. We don't have many things we've attempted. See, even if you attempt to start something and it fails, take it as something you can talk about on this day. Take it as something you can speak about. Continuing with the different warnings, Revelations chapter 3, verses 1. We can have Revelations chapter 3 and verse 1. See, God has warned us of heaven and hell, and he's warned us of the rewards, right? He's warned us of all these things. But what he hasn't, but even though he's warned us of these things, many of us are still struggling to believe. And maybe we're struggling to believe, maybe we're struggling to really accept it because we don't see it. We don't see what will happen. We don't see the fruit of what may happen, but it's real. It's very real. And you must believe it. Revelations 3:1, it says, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. If you read this verse in another version, it says, I know your works. You have a reputation of being alive. I want you to pay attention. God is saying to the church, yeah, I pray that someday God doesn't tell our church this. He's saying you have a reputation of being alive, but you are, verse 2. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. Yeah, for I have found your deeds unfinished in my sight, in the sight of my God. Amen. Yeah, it's like the deeds that they have committed, the deeds that they have done in their church, the deeds that they have done for God are unfinished. Yeah, I pray that we will finish our deeds, or we will finish our works. We will finish what we are attempting to do for God. Amen. And is to die. So I just want to encourage us, you know, that wake up. If you are dead spiritually, if you feel like spiritually you are dead, or if you feel like spiritually you're not making progress, or if you feel like spiritually you're not moving forward, you know, I want to encourage us to wake up. Wake up and do something for God. Wake up and attempt something. You know, that's why in our church, we're always looking for church workers. We're always looking for people who want to do something. Yeah, maybe one of these days, I'll ask some of the people who are church workers to give a testimony about how maybe working in church has allowed them to go deeper in their walk with Christ. But I just want to encourage us to wake up and do something, to attempt something, right? Even if it is unsuccessful, there's a blessing in the attempt of it. Amen. So as we close today's service, I just want us to take a few moments just to close your eyes, bow your head, place your hand over your heart, and just pray and ask God to help you to prepare, help you to be wise, right? To prepare is an extension of wisdom when you prepare. So just take a few moments, pray and ask God to help you to prepare. Father, I thank you for this chance, oh God. I thank you for the chance in the life to prepare. The fact that we have breath enough to prepare, Lord, is a blessing. I pray, Father God, that you'll continue to keep us, continue to watch over us, continue to strengthen us, Lord. Help us to advance. Help us, Lord, to go on in our faith. May we not remain the same Christians. May we not stay on the same level of our faith. May we grow, Lord. May we become mighty men and women of God. May we become people who want to get closer to you, people who want to develop a relationship with you, people who want to do works. May we become eternity-minded Christians, Christians who think about what is next, who think about what is to come in the future, who are not just focused on here on earth. Lord, I thank you for this time in your presence. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.